This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is Ben Wilmer and you are listening to Every Step Along the Way podcast.
Hi everyone, welcome back to yet another podcast. I think this one is maybe the third or the fourth one we've recorded this week. By saying we, I mean me, and as always, my fantastic partner in crime, Mr. Buxton. Dan, how's things with you, mate?
The Christmas day is approaching. It's very close. I mean, it should be Christmas Eve, won't it, when this comes out. I'm very, very happy after watching Stoke earlier on. Now, not everybody is, it seems, looking on the social. But, me, myself, I'm very encouraged by what I saw.
Good, good. And I think before we get into the game, and there's a few bits to break down, probably worth saying that, you know, this, as I said, is what, the third or fourth pod. I'm sure some of you at least must be sick of hearing our voices by now. I know me and Dan are sick of hearing our own voices. So, I'm sure a couple of you must be. But don't you worry, there's not many more to go. Now, today's pod, it will be shorter than normal. We're very much, you know, aware that there's been a number of pods. Also, this has only been recorded a couple of hours after the Millwall 0-0 draw, so obviously we've not had a chance to watch back, you know, the highlights and bits like that to give you a bit more in depth. But importantly, you know, Dan is currently in the car right now as we're recording this, and if it wasn't for, I don't know, other halves, other partners breaking ankles, meaning that Dan has to look after the rest of the Von Trapp family, we may have a little bit more time as well. But considering he's very much got to look after the crew, we'll keep it nice and brief. We'll talk about, as always, the Millwall game. We'll very much do a bit of a very brief summary around, obviously, the Birmingham game this week, and that'll be pretty much about it. So we've got plenty of content on the actual channel from this week. So just as a reminder, if you want to go back and listen to any of it, or of course you've been too busy wrapping presents and you haven't seen them, we've got the Schumacher insight and analysis, so you can go back and watch that. Of course, we've got the podcast today, which looks forward to Millwall. We've got the Christmas special that we released as well the other day, which was really good fun. It's very much a more casual podcast, that one. You can just literally sit back and relax. No real kind of manager speak or anything like that. So a hell of a lot for you to go and listen to if you haven't already. But Dan, 0-0 against Millwall. Schumacher's first game today. You said you quite enjoyed it. What were the kind of key telling points for you? What got you off your seat a little bit more today than maybe it did against, you know, a team that Alex Neil, of course, was leading just a few weeks ago?
Well, for a start, we had some shots on target as well. that's been a rarity recently, hasn't it? I think it wasn't so much stuff that gets you off your seat. It was just like the general build-up play. So, like, say Gooch had the ball on the left wing and you, where it's usually, and I'm not the sort of left-back's place, and usually what would happen is he'd take the ball in, wouldn't he? And then he'd look and he'd take another touch and he'd reposition the ball and then he'd decide if it was done and he'd turn and he'd then with three or four touches, 5-6 seconds later, he'd play back to McNally. And then He would take it in and he would have a look around. And then he would probably go square to Rose after three or four touches. And then Rose would roll across his body and take a touch, have a look around, see if Hoover's on, decide not, go back to McNally, and you know, so on and so forth. Stuff like the what happened today was, say the ball went out to Gooch, he would first time with force cut McNally out, go straight to Marco Rose, go straight like first time, and then as the ball fell to Rose, then he would first time be hitting it straight into the midfield, into Berger or Johnson or Laurent, and then they would like be looking to lay it off either maybe even back to McNally, but at least it would be moved quickly, or it would be played to another midfielder, just tapped, you know, 5 yards to the side, and then they'd be looking to go to Vidigal or Luis on the wings. Everything was done at a much quicker tempo. Everything was done with far few touches of the ball, far few time on the ball. So we actually manipulated and moved the ball around whilst the defence were and drag players out of position on the Millwall team. That's obviously after two training sessions to be able to do that bodes well for the future when you get some real, you know, good blocks of training in with the lads.
Well, that's it. You know, the more time you take to move the ball around, the more time that the actual players for the opposition have got to, you know, set the stall out and get themselves solid. Like you say, you know, you keep pulling people around you, you know, you've got some good movement. They can't stay in quite a rigid structure. And that could very well be the actual ingredients, which means that we could start breaking teams down who will just come here and try and sit in. You know, we will make them have to make movements. So I think, yeah, it's good to see that. And, you know, as you say, if we're seeing that after a couple of games, let's see what we can do after a few weeks. And somebody made a comment to me earlier on, basically just saying that, you know, it'd be nice if you had a few more training sessions before the games. And you know what? Actually, I disagree with that. I think what we're going to see now, the fact that we've got, four games in about 8 days, this is exactly what Schumacher needs. He's going to see the players who can play, you know, firstly, that many games, but he's going to see, you know, how good are these players. If he sees Johnson for four games and figures out that, hang on, he's not really contributing, that'll be the end of Johnson. And the same will go for any player. It's a real chance to actually see what these players do in an actual match day structure. Because training's all well and good, but you know, like you all, I look at the video that we saw, and I know that's not going to be all of the training video anyway, and that's not the whole session, but as much as the movement's good, there's no pressure from an opposition. They are literally just, you know, working on movement and stuff like that. So like I said to you the other day, this is early days. Whatever the result today, win, lose, draw, there's not an awful lot you can kind of put at Schumacher's feet. The one thing, like you said, that you can see, though, is that tempo, that intensity. And you're right. I think you need that in this league. Now, what we were probably lacking is that final killer pass. And that's probably simply been, well, we're not maybe used to working at this pace yet. So when we're working at the pace and the players know what's expected, maybe then those avenues will open up. But it just seemed to miss that final killer touch, killer pass, and obviously a killer finish, really.
You know, as well, what I think they probably are missing at the minute is a bit of confidence. Like, when they do get in front of them and get in that final third, Ryan May, I thought he played well today. I mean, again, I've seen some people really say he didn't, but I thought he put himself about a lot. He was getting pulled and pushed and banged around by, you know, a big pair of Millwall centre-halves, and he really, you know, he didn't shirk a challenge, he kept going, and like I say, he got stuck in, and he had chances in front of goal, he was setting people up, he was dropping in, he did really good sort of centre-forward play for me, and I just think the chances where he did get in goal, he just was looking for that, he didn't panic, but at the same time, he did take, you know, maybe an extra touch trying to find that perfect opening to have a shot. And then obviously he had one that was quite well, you know, straight down the keeper's net, but obviously he did well to say, he held on to it well. And then the others were sort of blocked out by these defenders. And you just think, if he'd had a couple of goals under himself recently, he'd have taken them maybe a little bit earlier and just found the corner, hit the corner, because he'd proven he can do that. I feel like, say, and yeah, we haven't won in 9 games now, so the lads probably are lacking a little bit of confidence. So to see them pinging the ball around as they were was encouraging. And you think, you know, what are they going to do like when they do get a couple of wins under the belt and their heads are up even more? To me, it looked like the shackles were just lifted from them. It looked like that they were allowed to go and play, that they were told that, you know, if you go and make a mistake, it's not the end of the world. Don't fear making mistakes, because a lot of the time they were giving the ball away, but then there was such a quick press around as well. So say the ball was played into, I use Gucci as another example. I mean, I think Berg was the best player on the pitch today by a million miles. Some of the things he was doing, he was absolutely reveling in this kind of play. He sat a bit deeper, usually where Pearson did, and he just dictated the game. He was loving it. He was popping it off, pinging the ball around, left, right, forward. He was driving with it. Everything was positive, and he was absolutely loving it out there. You could tell. It was unfortunate that he had to go off with an injury. That hopefully doesn't keep him out of the Birmingham game. But, yeah. Sorry. But, yeah, you could tell, like I say, just how much he was enjoying himself. I did wonder whether when they had the summer recruitment drive and they brought all these players in, and I think they brought players in, recruited players to play this style of football, where it was high energy, it was quick, it was mobile, because all these players are technically gifted that they brought in, aren't they? They're all players, you know, whether what you think about them or not, you know, Vidigal, Mai, John Ho, Haksabanovic, you know, all your attacking players there, for example, are players who would, you know, if you, the quicker you move the ball, the better for them. Doing, they are quite comfortable playing that way. And then I think they said to Alex Neil, this is how we want to play, this is how we're going to recruit. And obviously Alex Neil can't sit there and say, well, actually, that's not how I want to play. So has he gone, yeah, that sounds great to me, but then struggled to coach them in that way and prepare them to play that way, or struggled to allow them the freedom to play that way?
Well, what I thought was quite interesting today, Betty, is that Berger was being spoken to a lot by Schumacher. There was constant little bits of direction. And I can see, I don't know, obviously it's very early days. It's very difficult to judge anything right now. But I think if Berger can keep playing like that and maybe being given that freedom to express himself, and you know, Schumacher is seeing that, it wouldn't surprise me if he starts to try and build his squad around the likes of Berger. And doing it down that side of things, because we know how good he can be. You know, he can be, sometimes he will float through games and you almost don't recognize him, but he's a championship player. It's going to happen. No, we're not dealing with world class players here. You know, we're dealing with, you know, just probably run of the mill off of them, let's be honest, in comparison to the Premier League players. But, you know, I think he's very much one of them players you probably could start to build a team around. I think Johnson, for me, by the way, wasn't up to much. And from what I've seen from other comments, I think that's something that a lot of people have said again. And, you know, I said on a tweet before we actually started the game, like, don't read too much into that lineup. He's obviously taken a lot of guidance and a lot of advice from the likes of Gallagher. If Johnson's not good enough, he will see that and he'll be at the team. And that goes for absolutely every single one of them. You know, everyone's got a clean slate right now. So we'll see what happens over the next three or four games. But I think whatever does happen in the next three or four will probably dictate the team for the rest of the season in terms of its core starting lineup. Wouldn't surprise me at all. But you mentioned Ryan May in that as well, Dan. I suppose one question for you then, is he a player that's going to go and get us, who's got the potential to go and get us 10, 15 goals? Is he someone that could lead that line in terms of that one sole striker? And then obviously, I know we technically play 4-3-3, but he still leads that line generally. Is that the right position for Ryan, or would he be better as part of a two potentially?
I think he would benefit from having somebody close to him in a two. I also think he could play as a 10 and play deeper. But I think he can also play the position he is doing. And he hasn't scored too many goals this season, let's be honest. But at the same time, it's not like he's missed a whole load of chances. We just haven't supplied them with any. You know, he's making runs. He's in position to receive the ball and get it off. We just have spent the last 3 or 4 months barely getting the ball anywhere near him, haven't we? Unfortunately, that's the problem. And
yeah,
now, you know, he's shown the chances he has got that he can finish earlier on in the season. You know, he can find the bottom corner and stuff. He knows where the back of the net is. So we've just got to supply him, I think. And there was a couple of chances today that we had. And like I say, I think with he could have obviously talked to two, possibly even three goals today if he'd just had a little. I think he'd just been a little more sharp in front of goal, maybe a bit more confidence. Then he could have helped himself to, like I say, a couple of goals. Another thing I want to mention that I was really impressed with was when we lost the ball. So we were trying a lot of things today, like even the fullbacks and that. I mean, I know you're not as big a fan. I must say, Keanu Hoover had a fantastic game right back. He really did. He was charging into three times, I think, in the first 15 minutes. He was like towering headers. Like against obviously Millwall, absolutely to the point where Zion Fleming completely took him out and was like filthy challenge. It was one of them orange card ones, you know, where it's like it's not quite a red, but you're lucky, really. Some refs would have sent him, and I think it was because he was getting nothing out of Hoover. He was, I'd say, twice, three times he was coming right over and, you know, winning some real. Go big leaps on him when somebody just, and I said to Stu, obviously, who I was with, and I was like, he is not, I was like, this is not the Hoover that we know. Do you know what I mean? He doesn't, what's going on here? I think he's really up for it today.
Is that the Hoover of last season, would you say, maybe more?
I'd say defensively, we've not seen that Hoover before and how up for it he felt.
Do you think he feels threatened by Junior, because I think you could say that Junior and Juno, when they came on, they probably transformed that second half quite considerably. But you think he maybe, I think he's probably known about, there's a rumoured falling out with Junior and Alex Neil, which was the reason behind it. If that's the case, he's probably felt very, very secure. Do you think maybe now, new manager, with no preconceived ideas, and, you know, we saw Schumacher have a chat with Junior at length in some of the videos and stuff like that. So I reckon that maybe it's almost a clean slate. He's going to be after my position now, and I'm going to have to keep that position. So do you think that could be an element of it?
Do you know what I think? We even said while we were there, we look a lot more solid at the back, even though we're taking a lot more risks. So the defence taking a lot more risks, the midfield taking more risks, the goalkeeper. Bonham was playing it out first time, you know, ball coming back to him, he was playing it first time. No, none of this sort of take your time, have a look. And he was just, you know, like 20-yard pass out to the fullback. And I was like, it's almost as if, given the opportunity to go and express themselves and be told that if you make a mistake, it's, you know, don't worry about it. If the opposition score, we'll just have to go score two. It's that kind of mentality. And giving him that freedom and then telling him to go and put stuff on the line, it's allowed them, like I say, to actually defend better. So they haven't, he's not thinking, like, I think the weird thing you can do to somebody who's not as comfortable defending as maybe a defender should be is tell them, do not make a mistake. It's like, you know, you cannot afford to make any mistakes. We must be really, we'll be really careful, and we'll be really, really, I can't think of the word, but like, we'll be really careful. Do not, you know, do not give the ball away. Do not give them any chances. We must be solid. And for somebody who's, that's not the best part of his game, that probably just absolutely closes him up all completely. Do you know what I mean? And that's probably why we're not seeing the rest of him now. He's allowed to express himself a bit more. He's been told, yeah, go out there. Yeah, if you make a mistake, don't worry about it. You know, you've got 10 other teammates who could bail you out, and if they don't bail you out, don't worry. We'll just go down the other end and we'll score two. It's fine. And giving them that sort of in the head, he then can go out there and he can, you know, he hasn't got to worry about the backlash of a manager if he messes up. You know, it's. So I think that's the benefit, and it benefited all of them, to be honest. But yeah, you saw things like, you know, Gooch letting the ball run through his legs, stuff like, you know, to try and get Vinegar in and missing passes. You thought this would never have happened 2 weeks ago. But the thing was, like, it happened, and then there was a Millwall player stood behind him. and that Millwall player intercepted the ball. And but there was nothing, because then there was Gooch, Vidigal, Johnson, Bigger, within like a second, all four of them were straight on that player. And then he'd lay it off 5 yards to the side, and then there'd be three or four Stoke players converging on him again and again and again. And in the end, Millwall was punting the ball out of play numerous times in defence, because they couldn't cope with the press that we were putting on and how much pressure we were putting on them when we did lose the ball. And that's the thing, isn't it? Your teammates bail you out.
Well, you talk about press and the pressure we put on them. We had 19 shots to their 2. Unfortunately, only 3 of them were actually on target, which is a part of the whole debate around whether we've got enough quality in the final third. But yeah, 19 shots to their 2. Absolutely. We've got 53% possession to their 47, 442 passes to their 393. Our passing accuracy was at 78%, which was encouraging. And yeah, we only actually had 1 yellow card, believe it or not. Now, one of the other stats that obviously we need to work on this, we needed to work on it all season, scoring from set pieces. 7 corners we've had to their 1. I think we really, really do need to start working on those set pieces and making the most of them. In this league, we know that it's a really competitive division, so we have to start scoring from set pieces a little bit more. What do you make of the whole corner situation, Dan? I mean, set piece wise, do you think, again, 7 corners to their 1, we don't seem to score many no matter what right now. Is that a confidence? Is that how we're setting people up?
It's funny, we were actually saying this thing. You know, obviously when we take a corner, usually it's either like, you know, left arm goes up, doesn't it, or right arm goes up, or both arms, and that's sort of, you know, the signal about where it's going. You should have seen some of the signals that were coming out with the corners today. They had Hoover was making an A with like one hand, sort of like his second or third finger, his middle finger, his second finger, into like an A position, and then the first finger of his other hand doing it across. So he was like lifting that up in the air. So that must have been like, this is the corner we're doing. There was another one where he bounced the ball twice on one hand, then once with the other one, and then put it down. I was like, these are like, how many corner plans? If these are the signals, how many different plans have we got that they're trying to remember? So 2 bounces on the left and 1 on the right hand. So what that must mean is going to go here, and we've got to run to there. I was like, but yeah, it was just interesting. I thought, yeah, there's all these funny signals. And as it was pointed out by somebody around us, that it doesn't matter what signals he does unless you beat the first man. But yeah, the first couple of corners didn't beat the first man. Then he did get a couple, but then they were in and around sort of the 6-yard box. The keeper came and claimed both of them. And then, yeah, Haksabanovic, he took a couple of decent corners. One person who didn't take a corner was Bae Young Ho. So we thought, we were a bit excited, came over, got a lot of support off the booming end. Juno, all that going on. Probably psyched him up a little bit too much, because he took his corner and it went straight across everybody, out for a bounce once and went out for a throw-in.
Like, yeah, too enthused.
I think we maybe psyched him up a little bit too much.
So just to summarise, because we're talking obviously about a 0-0 at the end of the day, so just to summarise that, I mean, look at them stats and looking at how things went, a really encouraging second half. First half was a bit of a damp squib by and large, but second half really encouraging, some good play, fast paced. We very much should be disappointed to probably just come away with a point from that one. Millwall will probably count themselves extremely fortunate to get a point out of that one. And, you know, we can be relatively happy with, you know, Shuey's first game.
Yeah.
I think that's probably a good summary.
Yeah, there was only one team who was looking to win it, put it that way, and that was Stoke.
Yes.
I would say that the old defensive problems that seemed to hit us right at the end of games, they yet again came about, because I think it was 92nd minute, Luke McNally lets the ball bounce, then it comes down, and he tried to sort of hook it back over his shoulder, and sort of players sort of ran across him. It fumbled, and then that guy's one-on-one with Jack Bonham, and now he's sort of running back after him. Jack Bonham actually produced a really good save Otherwise, it would literally be the carbon copy of Sheffield Wednesday, where we've given the ball away, last man, 40-odd yards from goal, and he's run through 1-on-1 and slotted home. So, yeah, Jack Bodden did really well and deserves praise for that. But again, even when that, there was, you know, we were the amount of players swarming back. And it was interesting in the week, Stephen Schumacher said that he wants his players to run as hard when they haven't got the ball as when they do have the ball. And it's just as important to chase it and win it back as it is when you've got it. And that was evident in that display today. But yes, that's a pretty decent summary.
And before we move on, man of the match, poll results. I know it's not been out for very long, Dan, but where are we sitting as of right now?
Bonham is in third place and Gooch is in second, and a runaway leader, not surprisingly, is Wouter Berger. I say he was absolutely outstanding. He looked like he was levels above the championship on today's game.
All right, fair enough. And we'll have an update on the man of the match and stuff like that, probably on a pod in the next week or so. I'm sure we'll get an update, because I think Berger's had a couple of them now overall. But that pretty much ties up, obviously, that particular game. There's no news this week to really kind of speak of. So we'll go straight into the Boxing Day game versus Birmingham.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So, on to Birmingham then. So, we have met at Birmingham on 109 times. We have 44 wins, 26 draws and 39 defeats against them. At St Andrews, we have 12 victories, 15 draws and 26 defeats. However, we have not won on our last 15 visits dating back to September 1988. So, Mike, in your lifetime, we have never won at St Andrews. So I think it's time that we change that one. Obviously Wayne Rooney and Stephen Schumacher have never met as managers. So yeah, there's nothing. And also Wayne Rooney has never managed versus Stoke. Stephen Schumacher has never managed versus Birmingham. So there's not a lot to go off there. As for home and away records, it's not too great for Stoke. I mean, we've only picked up 9 points away from home this season, which puts us 20th in the away table. Whereas in the home table, Birmingham sit a little bit better. They're in 12th place with 19 points from 11 games. In the form table, now we feel that Birmingham are horribly out of form, but it sort of shows what a recent run we've had. Birmingham are actually 17th with 5 points from the last five matches, whereas Stoke sit 21st with just three draws from the last five games, and we're obviously like 9 matches now without a victory. If you thought our record at St Andrews in recent times wasn't bad enough, the referee on this Boxing Day fixture is one Gavin Ward. He'll be loving the TV cameras on him, won't he? I think the last time he refed us on TV, wasn't that the Huddersfield match where Josh Caroma sort of tried to decapitate, take out Tabled Harlebellis at the knee? Well, anyway, this season he's ref 15 matches. He's given 58 yellow cards, one red. Yeah, he doesn't like giving many of them, does he? And he's actually given 3 penalties. There have been 9 home wins, 1 draw and 5 away wins in that time. He's actually ref Birmingham more times than he has any other team, 18. Given them 28 yellows and 1 red. And he's given them 1 penalty against them in that time. Whilst he's ref Stoke on 13 occasions, given us just 13 yellows. Given us 2 red cards, actually, as well. Yeah. So, yeah, he's not very well liked in this box. But to be fair,
Looking to talking to other championship clubs. I don't think he's very well liked very many other places either.
Okay. Great, cheers, Dan. Very, very interesting, as always. I'm looking forward to this weekend's game, to be honest. I think it's going to be a really, really interesting one. And, yeah, I mean, Luke, I've been having a bit of a watch back of the Plymouth and Birmingham game, actually, after the end of the match. Now, obviously, we've got Birmingham on Boxing Day, televised game, which I always quite like a televised Boxing Day game. I don't know what it is about it. I mean, I know we haven't got a great record when the games are televised, but still, I think we've got a great chance of winning, if I'm honest. From the bits that I've just seen for the Plymouth Brum game, you know, they threw away a 3-1 lead, Birmingham, against, what you have guessed it, Plymouth. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, Plymouth should have won that game. And Birmingham were down to, you know, to 10 men, fine. They went 3-1 up. And Plymouth, I mean, they pulled it back really good. But then, you know, they missed probably at least two or three, like, gilt-edged chances to go and win the game. So I think one thing I took from that Sanderson guy that we almost signed before he decided to go to Birmingham, then he looked awful, I'm going to be honest. He really did look bad. He gave away a chance, which meant that they basically got themselves back into the game, and honestly, it was like the ball was rolling to him. He's completely pretty much miskicked it and not kicked it at all, and it's gone straight through his legs, pretty much straight to Plymouth, and they've just scored, like, really poor. You know, they've made a mess of a few of them goals. I think for Rooney, it's simply not clicked, and whether it's a lack of quality, lack of quality in the manager, lack of quality in the players, confidence is probably definitely playing a part, I would say. But they look so unorganised, void of confidence. And really, for me, I've not seen them an awful lot, but what I've seen, they just look a little bit all over the place. So I genuinely do think that Birmingham are going to be there for the kill, to be honest, on Boxing Day. We put some pressure on their hours.
They're going to be under pressure if the thing is, if they don't go there and score early, then the crowd are going to cheer, aren't they? There's going to be massive pressure on them. If they go 1-0 up, even 2-0 up, after what's happened at Plymouth, there's going to be massive pressure on them because they're going to think, oh my God, we blew a 2-goal lead, we can't do that again. So, really, there's a lot of pressure on me and Stoke. I think if Stoke play like they did today, and they just, like I say, don't give them anything on the ball, and I think what we've got to accept is as well that playing this way, the opposition will get chances. Millwall didn't have any today, really, other than a few set pieces. And that obviously is a big chance at the end. But like I said, they didn't really create much. But I think they were quite poor, to be honest. I don't think, like I say, they showed us very much. I think their forwards are out of form. And I think that showed. But Birmingham, like I say, they've obviously scored 3 goals, so they are going to be looking at creating chances. I think it's Bakuna who was involved with 2 assists and a goal, so we've got to watch him. Yeah. I think, like I say, the way we're playing now, I think the opposition will get chances, but I think we will create far more chances than we were doing previously. And I think the game's going to be far more entertaining. And we've just got to back ourselves to be more clinical, basically. And I think what happens is the more chances you do get, the more clinical you'll be. I think that's sort of where we're going with it, isn't it? You know, the more chances you get, the more confident you'll be when you the next one comes along. Whereas if you get one, if you're a striker who gets one decent chance every 3 games, how are you supposed to get into any rhythm of confidence in front of goal?
I think that's it. I think you nailed it. So I think that's just it. If we put the pressure on, go at it as in we want to win this game. We've not come here to pick up a point. We've come here to win the game. I think that's absolutely how we have to tackle it. You know, and when you get a chance, Dan, go and have a look at the actual Plymouth and Birmingham goals there. And for me, that's what Plymouth were doing extremely well, which obviously, you know, Schumacher is the one who's got them playing that way. And they basically put pressure on them, get some pace in and around them, get people moving, put the pressure on. And they just seemed to crumble a little bit when that was happening. So I definitely don't think it's a game where we want to maybe sit off and try and hit them on the counter-attack. For me, let's just get in the face. Let's not let them settle. Let's not forget as well that they are on an absolute kamikaze slide. Like, since obviously Eustace went and Rooney's come in, he's had a disastrous tenureship so far, and I'm loving it every second of it, as you can kind of tell from my previous one. I've got no time for clubs who do what they did. So for me, yeah, Luke, I think they will stay up for the simple fact that there are three worse teams than them, but I just think they are there for the kill. It probably famous last words, they'll go and beat us now. But look, I'm not scared of Birmingham. Neither should we be scared of Birmingham. Go there, full attack, pace, give everything. I mean, we've got to remember, obviously, there's going to be some changes because, you know, again, we've got them on Friday. We've got Birmingham then. We've got another game a couple of days later, and then another game a couple of days later again. There's a lot of tired legs going to be in at that point. But I think Birmingham, the one place above us, we need to go ahead and we need to get a win.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think we should approach it as a game that we can win. Approach it as a game that we should be looking to win. And like I say, if we can, I think the key again is having the energy and the press to really put them under pressure when they've got the ball. Don't give them a moment to think about it. Make them play it early. Make them pass it off early, and they will make mistakes. That defence there will make mistakes. They will give you the ball. The midfield will give you the ball. And Christian Bialik got sent off today. He is he's going to be a massive miss for them in the midfield, I think. You know, he's an absolute key player. I think he's suffered, I believe he suffered some real bad injuries in his career and that. And it sort of blighted his time. I know he was at Derby once, and he did. You know, he was a real key player for them, and he caught some. I think he's out for a couple of years, basically, bar like, you know, one game or something. And he's been to Birmingham. I think he picked up an injury again. So it's, you know, he's a key man for them. He's on his day as a top class championship player. And so, you know, we need to take advantage of these bits of luck where things like he's not going to be available for this game. We've got Ben Pearson coming back. Pearson coming into that midfield is going to be fantastic because you're going to need fresh legs. You know, like I say, Loren played nearly 90 minutes. He came off with an injury towards the end. You know, a Millwall, late Millwall tackle. You know, he went over his ankle. He came off. Berger, he was waiting down. He had some treatment for what looked like a bit of cramp, and then he went off. So, you know, they've run themselves into the ground. Can they do that again in 3 days? Well, actually, Ben Pearson can come in. So if Pearson can come in, then Johnson and John Ho basically played half each. I think it was like 53 minutes the substitution was made. So can you go with Pearson, Johnson, John Ho if Loren and Berger aren't available? Lewis Baker came off and played the last 15 minutes. So can Lewis Baker come into the side? I think what you need fresh legs in that midfield, and you need freshness up front. Haksabanovic come on and took the cobwebs off last 15 minutes. Do you start with him? Because then his legs are going to be fresh. You have to just keep running, keep running, keep running. When you can't run anymore, then we'll bring you off. But that's not a problem. Whether that's 80 minutes, whatever, you just keep running. As long as you're running, you'll leave you on.
I think the good thing of what all those players, pretty much bar Johnson that you just mentioned there, we're talking pace. I think all of them have got qualities, and I think all of them have got pace. And I think in this league against almost every team, you need players with pace. You need them to be moving around. So you're right. A few of them have shaken a few cobwebs off. You know, it'd be great to see Pearson back. He just always gives you that solidity for me. So I think he's going to also, again, be keen to stamp his authority and say, I'm going to be playing in this game every single week. This is my place. And I think he'll be back to his best. I really do. Which I think is going to let the likes of, you know, the Haksabanovic's, the Burgers if they're fit, and you know, Lorenz, etc., who's been very good, Lorenz, since he's come back. You know, it's going to allow them to play. So I think he's going to be perfect for us. I really do. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how this one goes personally. I think Haksabanovic is, I really like him as a player. I think he went off the boil a little bit, whether that was down to fitness and carrying an injury maybe before it eventually ruled him out. But I want to see him come back because when he's on form, I think he's a really exciting player. He reminds me of Arnautovic, he really does. And that's a very big, I'm not saying he is on Arnautovic's quality by any stretch, but he's certainly got a lot of qualities. So yeah, that's pretty much the kind of what I'm expecting there. But what we'll do now, let's just dig into Mr. Graham McGarry, Mr. Reliable Graham. We'll have a quick listen to see what Graham thinks about Birmingham City.
Well, first of all, you Potter predictors, it's a merry, merry Christmas to you. Let's hope your Boxing Day afternoon won't be spoiled when Stoke City make that trip to the Midlands for their tea time kickoff against Wayne Rooney's Birmingham City. Of course, both sides in the lower reaches of the Championship will be desperate for the 3 points. Stoke took a solid point out of the game against Millwall, while Birmingham were involved in a real humdinger when they drew 3-3 with Plymouth, having led 3-1 at one stage. But Stoke City will hope now to build on Stephen Schumacher's first game in charge and build up to 3 points at Birmingham City. There's no reason why they can't do it. They just need a break in front of goal. I think they'll get it, you know. I think it's going to be a Boxing Day feast of football, and Stoke will win it by 2-1.
Graham, thank you very much. So a 2-1 prediction from yourself, which is really naughty because I'm going to be honest, you've stolen my prediction. I definitely think that they will score. I think they've got enough about them to score, but I'm very, very confident going into this one that we're going to turn it on. I really do. So 2-1 win. I'm going to say a relatively comfortable 2-1 win. I think we'll go 2-0 up. And I think they will get one back, but I think we'll be solid enough at the back to kind of keep them out. So in terms of my team, I'm going to go for a very similar team, actually. I'm not going to change anything overly dramatic. Pearson comes back in for me. I think that's pretty straightforward, very much to be expected. I do think that Johnson gets dropped. I think Juno comes in, very similar to what you said, Dan, you know, a few minutes ago around the whole, you know, trying to keep some fresh legs. The fact that he's kind of played 45 minutes each, pretty much. I think that's really very much where I'm going with that. Whether I'm not going to, is Campbell fit? I don't know if you've heard anything about Campbell, Dan. I don't think I have. Still out injured. Right. Okay. So if he's still out injured, I don't think I'm going to change it anyway, other than dropping Johnson for Juno and bringing Pearson in as well. So I think it's going to be pretty much the same. It's nice to see Simkin on the bench. I don't think we've got any other choice, but I still think Bonham keeps his place, and the back four probably keep theirs as well. So I think it's actually a relatively straightforward decision. I do, however, think going into the next game, we will definitely see some changes, I think, for that one, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. So, yeah, Dan, that's my team. That's my 2-1 winning prediction. What are you going for?
I was going to say 2-1 as well. So I'll have to go 2-0, won't I think? as for my team, I think like you, the goalkeeper and the defence will keep their positions. It wouldn't surprise me with Loren and Berger going off whether there is a big reshuffle in midfield. And whether you see Pearson coming in as sort of the sitting, the number six, if you like, and then probably Johnson and John Ho in front of him. I think that's a very attacking midfield, like those two as well. But yeah, I think the more we can get John Ho on the pitch, the better it's going to be. And I would actually put Junior in for Lloris on the right. I would put Haxel for Vidigal on the left and probably keep Ryan Mai, let him keep his place for the start anyway. And sort of see how we go from there.
You know what? As much as I've been calling for him, how the hell did I forget to put Junior in my team? I've made my bed. I'll lie in it. I don't know. I know what you're saying a bit further forward. He looked a bit dangerous, didn't he, Junior, when he came on? So I can kind of see where you're going with that one. But I can't keep going back on my team just because you remind me somebody exists. So, I'll stay with my team, but it's a great shout to put Junior in. I think he's going to be a potentially great player for us. Still, obviously, early days, but everything I think we see every time he comes on the pitch is just, he's oozing quality. So we need to find a place for him in there. 2-0 prediction. Okay, I'll give you that. I mean, you clearly have got a lot of confidence in the defence. And you know what? So have I. I've got a lot of confidence in the defence. I just do think they've got a little bit of something about them as well, going forward. But as I said, I think they're very, very susceptible at the back. pretty much everything from that side. I want to finish off with the Super Six predictions, if you don't mind, Mr. Buxton, especially because this is probably the best I've ever done on a Super Six prediction in all the years I've been playing it. So you finished off the day with 7 points. Not too bad normally, mate. That's normally about right, isn't it? We normally get between 7 and 11, I'd say, is our average. And yeah, I'm very happy to rub in the fact that I got a lofty 17 points. I was absolutely, I'm not going to lie, I could not believe it as it was kind of coming in. Some of the points as well, I mean, Fulham, I had obviously to win. They didn't win. I had Newcastle to beat Luton. Obviously, they didn't win. So I would have been really, really close, as probably a few other people would have, going over the 20s. But I got 17 points. I got the 2-1 prediction exactly for Everton. As I said, the 2-1, I went 2-1 for Bournemouth to beat Forest, the 1-3-2. I got the 3-0 correct for Leicester against Rotherham and the 1-1 correct for Liverpool versus Arsenal. So I'm going to take that all day long because I'll probably never do that again now. So the top three, if you like, for the actual whole round this week, Adam Ryder, a very brilliant 19 points. As I said, I came in second with 17 points, along with Adam Newton, Sean Sumner, Gordon Heathcote and Philip Kelsall. And then there's three people in joint third: Sean Flanagan, Nathan Brown and Julie Blood, all with 15. So, yeah, a lot of high scoring points this week. There was a lot of people who were in double figures this week. So not bad at all. I think I was five points behind you, I think, was last week, Dan. So that's given me a nice little head start. But we both know how this changes. Next week, it will flip on its head and you'll be getting 17 points while I get 7. You can see it coming. So I think that's pretty much it. I guess there's no gaffer update yet. You probably haven't had a chance to check.
If you could just let me know when that week is, and then I can stick a bet on it as well while I'm at it.
that's a one-off, genuinely. It's a one-off. I've never come close. I think the highest I may have got in the past was either 12 or 14. So I'll take 17. I'll rub that in the salt, you know, rub that salt in the wounds, because I'll probably never do it again. So either way, it keeps it really interesting. We're halfway through the season, and there's probably next to nothing between us. So, yeah, really enjoying it. As I say, no gaffer update for you, I take it. You probably haven't had a chance to check yet.
No, I don't even think it might not even have updated. It might have overnight.
Okay, no worries. Well, we'll get an update anyway on a future pod. So, Luke, I think that's pretty much it. Like I said, there's going to be a shorter one this week. We'll be back, as always, with normal kind of schedule. But like I said, I mean, thanks for everyone who's been listening over this Christmas period. We know there's been a lot from us. We always promise we'll never miss a game. We've never done it in 3 years, and we don't really plan on starting now. So hopefully, as much as I say, hopefully you all appreciate all the time and effort we've put in over this Christmas period. It's been tough going, I'm not going to lie. Dan's calling for an international break to be introduced into English football. I'm not quite sure you're going to get it. But yeah, look, everyone, thanks very much. Hopefully you all enjoy a really, really good Christmas. I know that, you know, we've talked about presents and stuff, and I know that's what we're all looking forward to as well. But just remember, family means a lot. Go and enjoy the game. Go enjoy your Boxing Day. And hopefully we'll come away with 3 points.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.